The following program is paid content from the Organization Free Your Children. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of Free Your Children and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Kennedy Broadcasting Company, LLC, its owners, and management. Welcome in to Free Your Children, sharing truth and love about education. And here's your host, Tiffany Boyd.
Hello, welcome to Free Your Children on WKOM 101.7. I am your host, Tiffany Boyd, and our mission here at Free Your Children is to share the truth and love about education. There's a battle raging for the souls of our nation's children, and I hope this ministry equips you for battle. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6, 10 through 11. I want to thank Safe Storage for sponsoring today's show. If you have storage needs and you are in the Middle Tennessee area, you can find them at safestoragetn.com. Also, a special thank you to John Paul Financial Services for sponsoring today's show. John Paul Financial Services has been in business for more than 30 years, offering retirement planning, basic and advanced legacy planning, as well as small or large-term life insurance. For a free consultation on how a living trust or a guaranteed retirement plan may help you, call 931-979-6170. That's 931-979-6170, or by email at jplivingtrusttn.com. John Paul Financial Services, sound solution for a secure future. I also want to thank the Borough Pulse for sponsoring the show. That's BOROPULSE.com. I am a monthly contributor to the Murfreesboro Pulse. You can go there and read all the articles that I have penned to date about education, so I hope you'll hop over there and check that out. If you would like more information about Free Your Children, you can find us at freeyourchildren.com. We have a fantastic toolkit there that we are updating as quickly as possible with multiple topics that you may find of interest. You can find articles that have been written and also links to radio shows where we have gone into more detail about those specific topics. So I hope you will go to the website and check out the FYC toolkit. You can also find me on Telegram, Facebook, my Gmail, freeyourchildren@gmail.com. Feel free to send me an email with tips or topics that you would like to see covered in future shows. Again, you can find me on the Borough Pulse. That's BOROPULSE.com. And we also have a Rumble channel. I'm really excited that tomorrow we will actually be launching the Free Your Children television show. So we will be in the studio recording that show. We have our guests lined up. Those shows will air on Nashville Public Television, and they will also be uploaded in the future to our Rumble channel, and you will be able to access them and on our YouTube channel as well. So I hope you will check those out. Those will be coming up soon. So, Free Your Children has been at the Capitol, or should I say Cordell Hull in Nashville all week. Today is Thursday when we're recording this program. We were there all day Monday, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday. And then, of course, we're missing the House floor session this morning because I'm in studio with our amazing guest, and we certainly didn't want to miss that. If you have been following Free Your Children for any length of time, you know we are adamantly opposed to this school choice voucher legislation that has been moving through our legislature. Boy, has it been a circus. If you have never been to Cordell Hull to hear committee meetings, I highly encourage you to do so. You will definitely get an education. Homeschoolers and private school parents have been with us every step of the way. We've been filling committee meeting rooms and bringing our children, and it has been an experience, let me tell you. So I want to tell you kind of what happened yesterday and bring you up to speed. Today, they are on the House floor. There has been all kinds of shenanigans going on. I have been interviewed by people I never thought would interview me in the bathroom, in the hallways. I did an interview with Phil Williams this week. that hasn't released yet, because they all want to know, why are homeschoolers opposed to school choice? So it has been a fantastic way for us to be able to hopefully educate the public on why true conservatives are opposed to school choice legislation. So yesterday we were going up to hear this particular voucher legislation that was supposed to be in the House Finance and Ways Means Subcommittee, and then it was supposed to move to the actual Standing Committee, and it was supposed to be in the Senate Finance, Ways, and Means Committee. We get there after navigating rain and interstate closures, and we're early, and we find out it had been delayed for an hour. So then we get into committee meetings, and then we find out that, you know, the Senate committees have been canceled, and they're not going to hear the bill. And so this went on for hours and hours. I believe we were there for 12 hours yesterday. So we left Cordell Hull hearing rumors that the school voucher legislation would likely be added to a dark horse bill through an amendment on the House floor. So that House session is occurring right now as we're recording this. We have Free Your Children followers and friends there at the House watching this unfold to see if this is indeed what's going to happen. And I want to say this. If they have to hide a piece of legislation buried in an amendment on another bill, caption bill, and they have to go about getting where they want to be through this type of dirty politics, it's likely not a good bill. Okay. And I would highly recommend that you hold your legislators accountable if they are pulling these kinds of shenanigans. I don't know of anyone that is true that truly wants school choice other than the wealthy lobbyists that are at Capitol Hill ramming this down our legislators' throats and the general public's throats. So don't stop. Keep the pressure up on your representatives and keep the pressure up on your senators to say no to school choice. Also, the parental rights bill, the fake parental rights bill that I've been warning about, that was HB 2936. The sponsor of that bill, Representative Jeremy Faison, he actually motioned for that to be held on the desk. This could resurface on the floor today. I'm not watching it right now as we speak, and I haven't seen the agenda to know if it's there, but that was a concern that they may bring this to the floor of the House today and vote on this. This is a horrible bill. This does not give or protect parental rights. It actually subverts those parental rights to the government. There's a whole standing list of things that are wrong with this, and we're going to be delving deep into this in future shows. But you need to contact your representatives on that one as well. And there's some other legislation that we're highly concerned about that I've shared over on Free Your Children. So follow that for updates if you are not doing so already. So enough about that. We're going to jump into a whole different arena with another lady who is an expert in her own right. Her name is Deb Filmon. Thank you for joining us today, Deb.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, well, I love your work. I share much of your work. I appreciate what you're doing there in North Carolina. What I'd like for you to do is to introduce yourself to our listeners and tell them how and why did you get involved in sharing national trends in education? Have you lost your mind? No, I'm teasing.
It's sometimes I ask myself that. I'm that person. Everybody knows that person, mm-hmm. You know, the one who raises their hand in a crowded room and says, but wait a minute, I don't understand. This doesn't make sense. I tried doing that locally in Charlotte when my kids were in school. And just for the record, I did not willingly put my children in public school. I was homeschooling them when their dad and I decided to split. Mm-hmm. And what he had been all on board with before he changed his mind and said they need to go to school. And the state prefers the state when it comes right down to it. So since they weren't that old and I couldn't say this has been the status quo for a decade or something like that, they were still in elementary school. They court ordered them into school because that's what he wanted. So, but coming from an education background, I have a master's in education. Sadly, I'm embarrassed to admit to you, it's from the University of Pennsylvania. I got that degree in 1990. Even then, I saw bad things. That's why I decided before I ever had children to homeschool.
Yep.
But I decided I'll stay involved. I'll, you know, keep my ear to the ground. I'll volunteer in the school. I'll, you know, see what's going on. Because I knew going back to 1990 that public school was not good. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, not aligned with anything that I believed in, just about education, never mind values.
Right.
Just about how to teach kids to read.
Yes.
So, and I saw it. I saw it up close. I tried to go to school board meetings. I tried to talk to other parents. Do you see this? Do you see what's going on? Do you agree with this? And time and again, I would hear, well, no, I don't, but I'm afraid to say anything. Or I don't want to rock the boat. Or, well, surely they mean well. And when COVID hit, and I'd been at the sort of local try to reason with people locally game for quite a while, and it wasn't getting me anywhere. I was just, you know, losing friends, people across the street didn't want to, you know.
Like, yeah, oh, no, trust me, I can commiserate.
Right. So I said, all right, I know I'm not alone. Mm-hmm. I know from talking to people locally, I'm not alone and feeling this way. They just don't feel comfortable talking to me, but, you know, publicly, mm-hmm. whatever. But I have to get this word out somehow, and I need to reach the other people like me at least first. So I know the other Debs out there, the ones with the big mouths, the ones who are not afraid. We have to get to them first. And obviously, I can only find them so well sitting in my house or, mm-hmm. you know, going downtown or something. So I said, I'm just going to start talking on the internet and see if anybody listens. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know who might listen. My Twitter at the time had like 300 followers. It, you know, we're talking and right as they locked us down, basically.
Uh-huh.
And closed the schools. And much as I can't stand the schools, I knew what that was going to do, you know, just in every other respect.
Right.
So I started making the videos and they really didn't get a lot of views, but I kept doing it because it was helpful to me. I felt mm-hmm. like I was creating content that if people didn't discover it today, maybe a month from now, whatever, mm-hmm. it might help. At least it would document for my children. Mom tried.
Exactly.
She said something.
Yeah.
So then one day a lady found me, some other YouTuber who had a much bigger following, uh-huh. found me and started on her show. I woke up one day and I had over 1,000 followers, you know, subscribers to
right.
my channel. And
yeah.
I said, wait, I went from like 60 to mm-hmm. how did this occur? Because she had scrolled through my offering, which at that point was a lot of videos, and her followers came over to me. And so that just started the ball rolling.
Yeah.
I also found a niche. One of those people said, you really need to react to some of the Tom McDonald stuff
mm-hmm.
because he's kind of speaking your language in terms of the state and the system and these, and not all of them are applicable to education, but maybe some of them. And sure enough, I'm not a rap fan
right.
by any means.
Yeah.
I never heard of him. So I started covering that and suddenly more people. What I realized is there are a lot of parents, friends of parents, grandparents, mm-hmm. aunts, uncles, former teachers, mm-hmm. employers, people out there who really needed and wanted to hear more. Like,
yep.
what is happening? Help break it down for me. And that's where what kept me going because
right.
it is hard. It, as
yes.
you know, digging into this material, looking at stuff that whistleblowers, parents send me,
mm-hmm.
it'll take you down emotionally, psychologically, if you spend too much time in it.
Yeah.
But that's what brought me to doing it. And now I'm still doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And the only commitment I have to my audience is I will always tell you the truth, even when it's unpopular. And mm-hmm. school choice is one of those things
yes.
that people want to believe is good.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the name. It's kind of like Black Lives Matter.
Yep.
Named itself something that was very hard to argue with.
Right.
If you say, bad people are like, wait a minute, are you saying they don't matter? Well, they did the same with school choice.
Yeah.
Let's call it something no one can argue with.
Right.
And so when you're saying we're against school choice,
uh-huh.
people hear that and they're like, wait a minute, but you believe in parental rights. I'm like, yes, that we already have.
Exactly.
You know, the whole endowed by our creator stuff.
Yes.
Remember that? So, you know, they cleverly named it something
mm-hmm.
to put us off the scent. And then, you know, I, as somebody who agrees with you about this, I'm so grateful that you and others are like sounding the alarm and saying, look at this, look at what it actually is. Have we not learned in the last 6-7 years or so, but certainly even before then,
right,
that people in power,
mm-hmm.
let's not even assign a party to them
right.
or any kind of ideology, just people in positions of power have gotten clever about how they name things,
absolutely
clever about how they tell us about things. They understand the value of narrative
mm-hmm.
and people in power do what they have to do to stay in power.
Mm-hmm.
We parents, if we've learned nothing else, have learned that our power in our families, in our homes, and with our children is being eroded. It's being taken from us by drip, you know, like a little drip torture method.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those of us who see it are feeling like we're shouting into a hurricane because it's been so cleverly done.
Yes.
That we have to first explain the method.
Yep.
So people can see it. Then once they see it, they can't unsee it. But it takes a while. Right. They're like, but why are you teaching me all this weird esoteric philosophy and stuff? Like, because I can't get the glasses off you. This like state is great. The
yes.
state cares about me and my children.
Yep.
I can't get them off you to see what I see in this bill or see what I see in this,
right.
in this politician. Until I first explain the how they're doing it.
Yes, we have attempted to launch an education campaign here in Tennessee, and I cannot take credit for everything that I'm doing. A lot of what I'm doing has been done before, you know, decades before by other people who sounded the alarm, and for whatever reason, they kind of drifted off into other areas because, as you said, they probably felt like they were screaming into a hurricane and it wasn't getting much traction and people weren't listening. And so, you know, like you, I am a former educator. I actually was a tenured public school teacher when we made the decision for me to resign and us to begin our homeschooling journey. And so, you know, I was one of those teachers that would ask questions and not go along with the status quo, which kept me in trouble often because I asked all the questions that they didn't want you to ask. And I've been like that since I was a small child. Imagine that. So that's probably why I found myself in this arena today, is because I just have this burning desire deep in my gut when I see injustices, especially toward children, that need to be addressed. And I get extremely frustrated with people who refuse to do the right thing, who refuse to speak up, who refuse to do hard things. And I felt like if I didn't do this, how would I ever be able to look my children in the face? What kind of legacy will I leave when I'm gone from here? Did mom fight for us? Did she stand up for what was right? Did she fight for our educational freedoms and for parental rights? Because you're doing all this and you know it, and we see other people who are doing it and they know it. They're certainly not doing it for fame. They're certainly not doing it for fortune. They're certainly not doing it to win friends, because none of that could be any farther from the truth. You actually become a walking target. Would you agree with
yes.
that? I mean, people
100%.
and the largest target that I have on my back, and I'm hearing this from everyone that I speak to who's doing the exact same things that Free Your Children is doing, because I tell people, we're not on an island here in Tennessee fighting against this. This is happening all across the nation, and Free Your Children has linked with people all over the United States who are doing exactly what I do, and I share their work, they share my work, so that we can hopefully educate people. This is a global agenda across the nation. There are many people sounding the alarm. It's not just crazy Tiffany Boyd in Tennessee spouting tinfoil hat conspiracy theories, because that's the narrative, you know, that has been sold about what we do, because that's what they do, right? To try to destroy your credibility, is they come in and they try to paint you as, especially if you're a conservative, because conservatives are the ones pushing these initiatives. It's the conservative party.
Well, let's say they claim.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, it's like everything else. The people who claim mm-hmm. they're Democrats,
yes.
but they're not, they're communists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
mm-hmm.
like, so, you know, I said something today because I was trying to, you know, crystallize my thoughts, what I would say to your audience.
Mm-hmm.
And it really comes down to this. And I hope listeners bear with me as I explain this. Education is not a right. Okay. Education is not a right. It's a service.
Mm-hmm.
There are two ways that we get services in this country or in the world, just mm-hmm. in general, right? You can have a free market or a controlled market. You have the rights you need. Well, almost all the rights you need to get your child or yourself
mm-hmm.
an education. You have freedom of association. That's guaranteed in the Constitution and every state constitution too.
Mm-hmm.
And you have freedom of speech. So these are two things enshrined in the U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights that the state can't curtail, like mm-hmm. that they can't touch that. The one you're missing is property rights. So what that did by not enshrining property rights, that allowed the federal government and every state government to sort of put into their state constitutions the authority to take your property in the form of taxes on your productivity, your income. I'm not talking about use taxes, sales taxes, road tax. I'm talking about you made X amount of dollars. You were this productive. We're taking it from you. Mm-hmm. And then once, you know, they got you good and used to that, they also said, put in the state constitutions that you now have this imaginary right to this service called education. That's how they justify the continuing to take the property for the purpose of providing this, you know, state provided service. So now it's in a controlled market. And the way they got away with it all these years and how they're getting away with now this new fangled way of doing it, school choice, is they use that service, the education they were providing, and to school us for many generations, mm-hmm. our grandparents, to believe that this was not only completely normal. See, the very first parents who had their kids dragged off to public school knew it wasn't normal.
Exactly.
Knew this is not all right. And they fought back. Mm-hmm. They fought back hard.
Yes.
And they even had to fight to get homeschooling rights back and right. private schooling rights back. Thank God they did that.
Yes.
But they weren't able to get them to release their stranglehold and monopoly on education and creating the service, this controlled service. So then they schooled the majority of Americans for so many years to believe this is normal, this is as it should be, and it should continue in perpetuity. You have a right to an education mm-hmm. coming soon, right to a home, right to food. They're doing it already, right?
Right.
And now rather than looking at all this failure that I'm sure you have been documenting and other mm-hmm. groups I've been documenting and all of the misery and the chaos and the lack of discipline and the lack of knowledge, just mm-hmm. the rank ignorance on the part of our young people all the way into Ivy League colleges, in fact,
yep.
instead of looking at and saying, you know, maybe the one thing we haven't tried is getting the government out of the education business.
Yes.
And out of the business.
Absolutely. And I'm going to stop you right there because we're going to talk about this more in detail when we come back from this break. So join us right back after this brief break.
You're listening to your local radio.
101.7 WKOM Columbia.
Hi, I'm Robert Rogers at Parks Motor Sales Buick GMC. Parks Motor Sales was founded by my granddad, Bobby Parks, and my great-granddad, Julian Mays, in 1958. We've been family-owned the whole time, and being family-owned, locally-owned, means you get to get your next vehicle or your existing vehicle serviced by the same people who stand in the grocery line with you, drop their kids off at the same school you do, and smile and are happy to see you when they do. So come see us at Parks Motor Sales in Columbia, Tennessee on 919 Nashville Highway or parksmotorsales.com.
Hello, I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. You may have heard our previous commercials about compression hosiery that we carry at Holland's Pharmacy. Well, we've recently expanded into a full line of knee braces, back, wrist, ankle, and other support wear. We will gladly help you get just the right fit for these items and, of course, special order items to ensure the proper fit. Come see us at Holland's Pharmacy, 1608 Hatcher Lane, or call us at 931-388-4233. 388-4233.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. By now you all know about Don, our service truck guy. Well, let me tell you about another member of our service team, and that's Mike Ashley. He's the guy you'll talk to when you call the office. Just call and talk to Mike one time at 931-540-0919, and you'll see why we're lucky to have him here at the Garbage Man. Thanks, Mike, for all you do to keep the Garbage Man first in service. That's 931-540-0919.
Attention, Middle Tennessee. Ready to unlock the secret to faster, easier weight loss? Introducing the revolutionary weight loss injection that's changing lives. Now at the Dr. Gill Center. Shedding those extra pounds has never been simpler. It's quick, it's effective, and it's here to help you. Imagine stepping into a slimmer, healthier you. Our experienced team is here to guide you every step of the way, ensuring you achieve your weight loss goal. The Dr. Gill Center is looking for 10 people who have more than 15 pounds to lose in the next 30 days. Call 615-882-4838 today and start your journey to a new you.
One of our goals at Caledonian is to impact our clients and friends in a positive manner. Whether it's a friendly voice, a smile, and a wave as you walk past our office, or supporting our community, the Caledonian team is actively involved. Through our memberships in Kiwanis, Rotary, Murray Alliance Circle of Excellence, volunteering in Boy Scouts and 4-H, serving on a variety of boards, and more, we stay connected to Murray County. This is Perry Bowman with Caledonian Financial in historic downtown Columbia.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through NBC Securities Incorporated, member FINRA and SIPC.
Some people are just obsessed with their lawns. They'd cut their grass with a pair of scissors if they could. Thanks to Gravely, they don't have to. You see, Gravely makes not only the best built and most comfortable lawnmowers, but they also leave your house looking like a doggone country club. So whether you're a commercial landscaper wanting the best or just a perfectionist homeowner, you can't do better than a Gravely.
See our full line of Gravely products at Murray County Equipment, 1075 North James Campbell Boulevard in Columbia, Tennessee, or check us out on Facebook.
Welcome back to Free Your Children. I am your host, Tiffany Boyd, and we are joined today by Deb Philman in North Carolina. Deb, we've been having a great conversation, chock full of information. Tell our listeners really quickly before I forget where they can find you.
So they can find me on YouTube or Rumble at the Reason We Learn channel. I also have a private community on a website called wokescreen.com. But the way you find it is wokescreen.com/ The Reason We Learn. And for members of that community, is a monthly membership or annual if you prefer. You do get access to a private live streaming area where I stream two live shows a week on Monday and Friday for just the members. And then those shows are contained in a sort of private archive page where you can go back if you can't make it to the live. I also have that accesses a private Discord where members can talk to each other as well as to me privately. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, I created this so that people could find access to resources if mm-hmm. they're homeschooling. I've sort of curated some resources in there. I will also share links. And it's just a way for me to communicate more privately with people rather than on the social media mm-hmm. platforms so that parents feel a little bit more unburdened and free to share what they want to say rather than being on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, where they're like, I don't want to be seen and I have a question to ask or I want to vent or whatever. Now right. that's, you know, the woke screen side. I also have a specific community that's part of that called The Reason We Parent, which is a support group, a literal mm-hmm. support group. It's a little bit more per month, but what people did get access to is two times a week, they get access to me privately for a meeting, an actual meeting, where we can come together as a group, or they can, you know, jump in even alone and say, this is going on in my child's school, or this is going on in my town, or this is happening, or I'm having this argument and I need information. And they get that kind of even more private access to me, or they can just get moral support. Mm-hmm. It's like a support group, mm-hmm. literally. Whereas the WoScreen regular group is more about, you know, give me information.
Right.
I'm working on this project. So,
well, fantastic those are the two resources. Ways. Yeah, mm-hmm. those are great resources. And I will put the links to those two. Send those to me, Deb, yeah. the actual links. And when your show drops, I will post those in the comments right. as well. So our listeners can find you. I highly recommend that you check out Thank those you. Resources.
Members do get tutoring discounts too. So if you need help with, I'm an actual teacher, so I do provide that. And finally, I did want to say, because a lot of people say, how can you charge money for this? Well, as Tiffany pointed out, we're not exactly doing this, the work that we do for fame and fortune. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I have found myself to be somewhat unemployable
yeah.
as a consequence. So in order to keep doing this work, mm-hmm. I really depend on people becoming subscribers to the YouTube channel, which is free, but it does right. feed the algorithm.
Yes.
Joining the communities, things like that. It does make it possible for me to continue to do the work.
Absolutely. I will reiterate that it's the same thing for Your Children. Once you become a public face as a truth teller, blowing the whistle on the truth about what's really going on in education and parental rights, you're not really marketable outside right. of that demographic anymore, because you do not make friends in this arena, which is fine. It's worth it to yeah. me to empower parents with the information that they need to protect those parental rights and educational rights. And again, when I leave this earth and meet my maker, I will at least be able to have clean hands in terms of sounding the alarm as the watchman on the wall, and what people do with the information afterward is up to them. But at least I have provided them with the information to equip themselves to fight this battle. And that's what we say within Free Your Children, and that's what we mean. So I do appreciate you being willing to step out, Deb. Those of us who do it, it's not for the faint of heart.
No, it is not.
Well, let's jump back in to our discussion that we were having about school choice. So, you know, this is a nationwide fight. We're fighting it in Tennessee. It's going around the nation. What would you sum it up for the listeners in your own terms. We know that school choice isn't really what it sounds like. I actually had someone interview me recently, and they said, why would a conservative be against school choice? What do you think about that wording? And I said the same thing you said. We already have school choice. This is government school choice. We already have the choice to send our children to public school, private school, or homeschool. What do you tell people when they say to you, why? What's wrong with school choice? Don't you care about the little children, Deb?
Well, I mean, you mean after I point out that that's a logical fallacy,
yes,
and they're making a straw man argument, and
yes,
they might know that if they hadn't been public school educated. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Just
exactly.
Kidding. But not really. So what I ask people is why they are so content to let the same government,
yes,
manage the dollars at all, like,
yes,
touch them at all, mm-hmm, that bungled it so badly that they are running for the exit. So
yeah,
if you're already telling me, I am desperate for an alternative and I need something better and this is bad, and I say, well, no one disputes that what you've got right now that's being, your money's being spent on, is bad. But I have to ask, at what point are you going to decide that whether the government gives you anything or not, you're going to protect your children? So first thing is, what's wrong with your legs? You're not a tree. You're not planted there. Get up and leave. And now I feel I have to preface this by saying, I understand that foster parents can't do that. And I myself was in a divorce situation where,
yes,
I had a court order. I had to put them in school. So I do,
right,
understand that the tiny outlier crop,
mm-hmm,
that literally don't have a choice. And believe me, my heart is with you.
Correct.
That said, you should be fighting extra hard,
yes,
for this, because think about that. You have a gun to your head that how the kids in your care are getting educated.
Uh-huh.
But as far as everybody else, I have to ask, you know, when did you decide that you were okay co-parenting with the government as long as you got to pick which physical space your kids were in while they were being co-parented with the government? When,
yes,
did that become okay, that it was okay for them to take your property and decide what a school is, decide what an education looks like and doesn't look like, decide who gets to teach your kids and be with them all day except for you,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, just roll it back. You're taking for granted that this is perfectly normal for the government to decide what education is, how much it will cost, who gets to spend, how much, whatever. Why is that okay with you? So I throw it back at them and say, no, don't ask me why I don't support these bills.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking you why you do support government continuing to run your education when they have done such a poor job as it is. These are the same people, the same exact people, the same agencies, the same bureaucracy are going to keep having the money. They're just going to redistribute it differently.
Yes.
So you're asking them for more ways.
Mm-hmm.
You're asking them to give themselves more power to define new ways to get you to comply with their rules.
Absolutely.
And yet you see it as a way out.
And in the state of Tennessee, I'm sure it's probably likely the same way in North Carolina where you are, and you can let me know. But here, while we've been watching the school choice legislation run through our legislature, it has been made clear time and time again. And when I say we've spent time at Cordell Hull listening to this, we have been in every committee where this legislation has been heard or rolled, because we've heard it rolled a lot.
Tiffany, people need to understand that the legislation is telling the government what it can do or what it will do.
Absolutely.
It is not... Freedom doesn't come from government,
exactly,
y'all. I mean, when did everybody decide that MSNBC was right?
Exactly.
And that you get your rights from government?
Exactly.
So this notion that they're going to write a bill that's going to
give you
freedom. First of all, money isn't freedom.
Exactly.
Money isn't freedom. I don't care how much. They could give you $20,000 per kid.
Yes.
If you're taking it to a school that the government then decides going to strap a VR headset on your kid and collect,
yep,
data all day,
yep,
or teach some other ungodly things,
yep,
that is, are you free because they gave you the $20,000 to send it to the school? No, you're not. And if you think that the free market or the market in general, even those who don't take the money,
because, mm-hmm,
people said to me, well, then don't take the money.
I know.
Okay. I got news for you. I didn't participate in the Obamacare exchange.
Right.
I didn't have anything to do with it.
Yep.
I was told I could keep my plan. Mm-hmm. I was told I could keep my doctor, that it wasn't going to touch me. If you don't need it, don't use it. Mm-hmm. Guess what?
Yep.
The entire market for medical care has been morphed and changed because of the influx of government subsidy. The same thing happened in colleges.
Yep.
Look at the colleges. Mm-hmm. They are going to be the last to turn around from the hell that they've become. And now they're going to do it to K-12. And I've got to tell you, when you get a very young child, mm-hmm. and you get control of them in yep. every possible aspect of their lives,
yep.
then you own everything. You own everything. That's it. Done. Game over.
Absolutely. And in Tennessee, they've made it clear as these bills have been moving through committees that, you know, our Department of Education has all this control, even over non-public schools, which means private schools and homeschools. They can promulgate the rules. So if it's ever signed into law, then they have the ability to go in and promulgate the rules and do whatever the heck that they want to do. And they've made it clear that if and when school choice passes, they will be in charge of the promulgation of rules in terms of the administration and the distribution of funds. So
of
it's
course,
just a free-for-all.
And the federal government, the federal Department of Education, and I don't care who's the president, it won't change, okay?
Exactly.
And not just education, but also the Department of Labor, because they're basically Siamese twins at this point.
Absolutely.
You can't just get rid of one, you have to get rid of both.
Yep.
But as soon as that state money starts blowing into those private schools, the federal government is already rubbing their hands together. Now, Christian schools, just a month ago, got let off the hook from having to obey Title IX. Mm-hmm. An appellate court overturned a lower court's decision saying that even the Christian schools had to obey Title IX because money's fungible. And essentially, since they're in the state, blah, blah, they had to do it. Their tax-free status meant they had to follow Title IX.
Oh, yeah.
The appellate court said no. It's very unlikely the Supreme Court will take it up. So, yay, they dodged a bullet. But mm-hmm. I'm here to tell you, as someone who isn't Christian, that's great for Christian schools for now. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's only Title IX that was in the decision. All the other titles, they might still have to.
Right.
But why do you need to be a religious school? What about just a non-denominational classical school mm-hmm. or a home school or a Jewish school or something else? Like, that's not really like religious,
it's, right.
you know, or Montessori school.
Mm-hmm.
No school, no parent's decision to educate their own child should have the federal government coming in and saying, oh, well, you know, money's fungible. And what the state is using to put into your school, even in your home school, mm-hmm. means that that's our money somehow touching it. So you have to follow the federal rules, even in your school. That is going to come. This federal Department of Education is the most overreaching octopus that has ever existed. And it's in everything now. So I just really want people to understand it doesn't stop at Tennessee's door either.
No.
So you already got the federal government just salivating over school choice. They'll pretend they're not for it mm-hmm. if they're on the left,
right?
Politically. They'll pretend to, because, you know, that's their game.
Yeah.
They pretend until mm-hmm. something is law, until government has power. And then suddenly they come out of the woodwork to tell you all the ways they're going to use the power to their advantage.
Right. And already we know that at the federal level, parental consent was removed. And
that's
so
right.
Now schools can bill for Medicaid without parental consent to access those funds for the first time. So
they were encouraged to do so
yes.
by that Department of Education, by Cardona himself. He gave me a special video
yes.
to tell the parents and the teachers and everybody who was listening, they needed to find ways locally in their state mm-hmm. to provide sustainable funding for these oh so important medical and mental health programs in their state. Because, you know, we can't guarantee that Congress is going to reauthorize the federal money. So we encourage you to work on your lawmakers to mm-hmm. get Medicaid direct billed from the school.
Yes. And we have to get that pesky administrative burden of parents out of the way so that we don't have to
take
the time to check with the parents to see it. So if it's okay, if they would be okay with us billing Medicaid for services that we're utilizing for their children. So, you know, it was amazing. I remember in the summer, when this was going around, when Lynn contacted me and told me that she had discovered it and asked me to share it, they were asking for public comment, you know, to come and give public comment on the Federal Registry and how you felt about the removal of parental consent. And we all went and did that. And what a waste of time, because they'd already made up their mind. It was already a done deal. And then the next thing that you know, the administrative burden had magically been removed and schools had the free rein to go in and start billing Medicaid. And it's all over our state website. They are doing that. You know, we know it's nationwide. The National Governors Association, in their playbook, you know, talks about mental health and how they're going to identify at-risk children and what they're going to utilize and all these tiered models that they're advancing. And we're going to get in the show before we get off here. We're going to talk about community schools. But before we do that, I want to ask you, because this is a theme, and I want to make sure that we are highlighting as many states as possible, who is behind the push in North Carolina for school choice? Who are some of the major players, Deb?
Well, it's the same players that you see by you. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, Corey DeAngelis and his organization, and we also have many members of the Republican Party here who are, you know, linking arms with him and his groups, you know, and Heritage and Cato and all mm-hmm. of those. These people who claim to be everything from libertarian to, I mean, they're not, Cato's not libertarian anymore, haven't been for a long time. Mm-hmm. The John Locke group. So those that we used to turn to, mm-hmm. to defend our rights mm-hmm. and be outspoken critics of any kind of government intervention, government bureaucracy, are now all in on this. And it feels like we have nowhere to go. Yeah. I mean, I'm supporting our libertarian candidate for governor because he's at least honest about what he would do to improve education freedom. But they're just handing people a different way to arrive at the same controlled market that I described at the beginning of the show. It's a controlled market. It's not a free market. They're straight up lying now by saying it's a free market solution. No, it's not. Right. Econ 101 teaches you that. So it's really a problem here in North Carolina because we have the largest population of homeschooled children in the nation
right.
existing in one state. If we were a school district, we would, because I'm not homeschooling again, you have everyone, mm-hmm. but we would be the largest district in the state.
Wow. Are you seeing, you know, I think to me it's always so interesting to watch our conservatives fall for this propaganda, specifically from Corey DeAngelis, and I have to ask myself, have they not done any research on the guy?
Seriously.
I mean, we have, you know, tried to get him to answer questions regarding his affiliation with UNESCO. He dodges that bullet. So conservatives are taking advice and sharing propaganda that's being put out by Corey DeAngelis, who doesn't even have children of his own. He's giving advice.
I mean, you don't have to have children to have an opinion on education. That's not what we're saying. But we're saying, you know, for people, for a person who goes around making fun of parents as much as he does, it's offensive.
Yes, it is offensive. And what's even more offensive to me is the fact that he skirts the issue of his affiliation with UNESCO. And let's talk about UNESCO and what type of influence they have on education. And why should we be concerned about that, Deb?
Well, UNESCO, for those who aren't aware, is a UN education, whatever. Mm-hmm. They are a globalist organization. Mm-hmm. So first thing you need to understand is anything that is touching UNESCO and any person affiliated with them is pro-globalism. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not a nationalist in the way of like China, right? Or mm-hmm. or Nazi Germany or something like that. But I definitely believe in American sovereignty. And I believe that our Constitution is unique in the world. And, you know, I value that. I'm not interested in having foreign governments or foreign entities, especially unelected, dictate policy in the United States. So UNESCO wants and makes no bones about it to achieve this 2030 agenda mm-hmm. where education policy in the United States and in every developed country and undeveloped country for that matter is defined by a global body pursuing sustainable development goals. So this is your Green New Deal, like mm-hmm. environmentalists, you know, reduce poverty. It's global governance. It's globalism. It erases American sovereignty. It renders our Constitution basically null and void, except for the most local things, mm-hmm. you know. And it is quite sinister because in order to achieve this, they are pushing types of education or educational programs that are quite literally programming our mm-hmm. children to not only not know that they're Americans with a constitution and individual rights, whatever, but to completely change their view of self to think that being an individual is a bad thing.
Right.
And that being a globalist and being a collectivist and being in this hive mind kind of way of viewing the world and its problems is noble and virtuous and good, which of course, for those of you out there who are Christian or do subscribe to another religion, is erasing that tradition.
Absolutely.
So UNESCO's goal is no less than to completely replace whatever your values are, whatever your beliefs are, with a belief in global governance and the state is your new god and your new go-to for solving all your problems, and more important, not more, but as importantly, that anyone who disagrees with you is the enemy.
Yes.
So not just someone who disagrees with you, but bad.
Right.
And a threat.
Absolutely.
Which, of course, leads to dehumanization and all kinds of bad things.
Yep. All right. Well, on that note, Deb, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back.
People are now going, you know, they're breathing into a paper bag.
Yes, I know. We're going to be right back to discuss community schools. So join us right back after this brief break.
This is Tripp Stoltz with Columbia Ace Hardware. I love listening to 101.7 WKOM FM, Columbia, Tennessee.
Celebrate you with a new vehicle from Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia. We have a huge selection of new vehicles waiting for you. We're talking cars, trucks, and SUVs. And if you're in the business of selling your vehicle, we've got you covered. We'll buy from you even if you don't buy from us. At Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia, we're locally owned and operated and proud to serve our community as the largest CDJR dealership in Tennessee. Find your new ride today when you visit Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Columbia.
Hello, this is Rick Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. What is a full-service jeweler? Experienced staff, custom designers, in-house jewelry repairs, and beautiful jewelry. Yes, at Tillis Jewelry, we are passionate, knowledgeable, and committed to integrity. We strive to be the best in our community and in our profession. We build long-term relationships and become part of family traditions that will cross generations. We delight clients by providing an unparalleled selection, superior service, and exceptional value. Tillis Jewelry, we exceed your expectations.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the stair that only creaks when everyone else in the house is asleep. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090 for all your home comfort needs. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
This is Debbie Matthews with the Nashville Realty Group, and if you've been paying attention, you know the housing market has been tough, but rates are beginning to thaw. So if you're thinking about selling, the time to jump in is getting better every day. But if you're thinking about buying, and those interest rates are still a little bit too high, a good agent knows how to negotiate interest rate buy-downs, and I'm a good agent. So call me, Debbie Matthews with Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224.
Hey Columbia, this is Tripp from Tripp's Ace Hardware. I'd like to invite you to our Spring Day and Remodel Celebration on Saturday, April 27th. We will have grilling demos, free food tastings, and a gift with any $10 purchase. Come see our new store, new garden center, and all our new merchandise. We are located next to Legends on James Campbell Boulevard. I look forward to seeing you soon.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
Welcome back to Free Your Children. I am your host, Tiffany Boyd, and we are joined today by Deb Filmon. In this last segment of the radio show, I want to discuss community schools. And I wrote about community schools quite some time ago. The state that we're in here in Tennessee, we are fully vested in community schools. So I'm going to read you an excerpt from the article that I penned. On August the 12th, 1986, Ronald Reagan made the following statement during a press conference. The nine most terrifying words in the English language are, "I'm from the government and I am here to help." The government is here and they are prepared to execute their plan with maximum efficiency. They have set up shop in our local neighborhood schools across the nation and they are transforming them into community schools. Their plan with this model, known as the WCCS model, whole school, whole community, whole child model, is to replace you, parents, The school will provide your child with everything that they could possibly need. According to the National Education Association, community schools provide meals, health care, mental health counseling, and other services before, during, and after school. Those wraparound services are integrated into the fabric of the school that follows the whole child tenets. The NEA goes on to state that these school-based health centers will provide the following: clinician providing primary care services or a multidisciplinary team providing comprehensive services, mental health care, social services, dentistry, and health education. Ability to extend services to school staff, student family members, and others within the surrounding community. Don't you think it's curious that conservative Republicans are supporting and promoting a school model that the NEA is on board with? The government has it all covered. To make sure schools are being loaded with school counselors, behavioral health liaisons, and clinical social workers. There are thousands of job listings that were posted across the nation for these positions. So that was an excerpt from one of my articles over on the Borough Pulse. That's BOROPULSE.com. And again, I've been writing about these topics for quite some time, and I wanted to delve deep into what is wrong with community schools. Deb, weigh in on that for us.
Well, again, we have the name game. Mm-hmm. They're calling it community schools, so a lot of parents are thinking that either we're going to go back to the neighborhood school, mm-hmm. that somehow this is going to be like the school in my community. I'm going to get to have, you know, more local control. No, no. Or they think that somehow this is all a sign of love and affection and caring from the same government that isn't teaching your kid to read and allowing them to be bullied and beaten in the hallways with, you know, impunity and so forth. Not to mention, in many cases, sexually harassed and abused by their own teachers. But yes. I digress. What it actually is it's an attempt to take what will never be a community. Let's remember that community is something voluntary that we choose, mm-hmm. Based on shared values, based on shared life goals and visions and so on. And the most important community is your family, then the people you choose as your friends, possibly your house of worship. And then beyond that, things stop being community so much and become networks. Mm-hmm. School, as John Taylor Gatto taught us, is one of those networks. I mean, something you might access to get a service or get a need met, but you don't share in the inner workings of your life. To call a school a community is to place the school at the same level as your best friends and your nearest family. What the community school model aims to do, not only to psychologically manipulate you into thinking that the government is a perfect substitute for you,
yes,
because it's part of your community,
right,
is to quite literally take in loco parentis, mm-hmm. which is the authority that they have to take your kid to the emergency room if they fall off a jungle gym and break their arm,
right,
and expand it out to providing what we call wraparound services, mm-hmm. that will extend from things like dental care, mm-hmm. all the way to abortion, mm-hmm. providing vaccines right in the school, surgeries, to actually physically have a medical center either attached to the school or very nearly adjacent to the school with transportation, et cetera. Mm-hmm. The groups that are supporting this, these NGOs or whatever you might mm-hmm. want to call them, Planned Parenthood, Advocates mm-hmm. for Youth, CCIS, the School Counselor Association, Human Rights Campaign, NASW, GLSEN. These are the gender people, okay? Mm-hmm. Gender Spectrum. And of course, even the American Medical Association, American Psychiatric Association. Why? Why would all of these associations be gung-ho to have services that their professionals provide, the people that are in their associations and licensed and work paying their dues to these organizations? Why do they want to have access to schools? Well, because education is one of the biggest honeypots of money in the country next to the military.
Yep.
Next to the military-industrial complex, the education-industrial complex is $1 trillion. Mm-hmm. Just nearly. It's just below $1 trillion. This is big business.
Absolutely.
Now, all of them want access to these helpless, mm-hmm. voiceless, vulnerable little people, first and foremost for money, mm-hmm. but secondly for power. Now, we already talked about UNESCO, mm-hmm. but there's another kind of power data.
Absolutely. So
you've got all the globalists who think this is fantastic because we can create different kinds of people who are oriented to being globalists and collectivists, and those pesky American values of individualism can finally be put to rest, mm-hmm. and we can get rid of them. They're so in the way of our global conquest.
Yep.
But the data mining, and this is where these so-called conservatives come in, because mm-hmm. if you really want to understand the people behind school choice yep. and Betsy DeVos mm-hmm. and all these people, data is the new gold.
Absolutely.
It is the new gold. So yep. all of these wraparound services, not to mention even just the curriculum stuff, just access right. to your kids for curriculum, they are all either delivered or gathered with lots of technology. You probably yes. noticed Chromebooks coming in the yep. schools and so on. They will now have the authority, just by virtue of you registering your child for school. You don't have to fill out any separate paperwork.
Right.
Once the community school model is in place, it will have the in loco parentis mm-hmm. to the nth degree. Your child gets a medical exam. You don't get to see it, but the government does.
Yeah, and again, those wraparound services can be billed to Medicaid without parental consent.
Even private organizations yep. and private corporations, medical corporations, mm-hmm. Even SEL companies that are yes. private companies, mm-hmm. they're going to get your child's data, which is now marketable. That's where the real money is, not yep. in the $20,000 your school district spends on second step SEL or whatever, but on the data they're going to gather through the use of the SEL programs. They can sell that for millions and millions of dollars to Amazon, Walmart, TikTok, whoever they want, whoever's going to pay them the money. And there's really nothing you can do about it, because the contract isn't with you, mom and dad. The contract is with the government.
Right.
This is, for lack of a better way to describe it, the economic side of fascism. So, you know, you've got the fascism that says, you know, like, you will believe what we want you to believe. But there's also the side that says you can own a business and you can run the business, but you're going to do it according to our terms. You're going to do it according to our values. You're going to do it the way we tell you to do it. And ultimately, we have the police power to enforce it.
Yeah.
Now, what I believe is happening on school choice side is the big money-making people think that oligarchy is going to beat fascism. In other mm-hmm. words, they believe that they'll be so rich, so fast, so powerful that like in Russia, there'll mm-hmm. be oligarchs telling the government what to do rather than cronies and peons being told what to do by yeah. government that's a little more friendly to them because they've got deeper pockets and so forth, and they might go tattle.
Right. Well, you're exactly right. Happening. Data is huge business. I've written about data. We actually have a piece of legislation right now moving through our legislature, and it is directly related to creating a state longitudinal database and money allocated to that. They're going to be asking individual school districts to pour money into collecting data, and of course, the Department of Children's Services, the Department of Labor and Workforce, they're all involved in harvesting this data and sharing this data within entities. And it is a huge money-making business, and parents need to understand that. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. I'm going to have to wrap this show up. I would love to have Deb come back again and visit with us here on Free Your Children. It's been fantastic. I will drop links when the show airs where you can find her. Thank you, Deb. I want to take the time to thank Safe Storage once again for sponsoring today's show. You can find Safe Storage at safestoragetn.com. I also want to thank JP Financial Services. You can find JP Financial Services at jplivingtrusttn.com. And I want to leave you with this. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. James 4:17. Thank you so much for joining us here at Free Your Children Radio. We love you here at Free Your Children, but remember, Jesus loves you so much more. Have a great day.